Hello, everybody. Welcome to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and today being Friday, it's a teaching edition of Basic Gospel, and Bob, I think we would agree that everyone who is a student of the Bible, even a casual reader, has come across one or more hard passages, things that are hard to understand, difficult to reconcile with what we've come to understand through the New Covenant in particular. So friends, that's what we've been addressing for the past several Fridays, and that's what we're going to be doing today. Bob Christopher is here, of course, and may be able to help you with some of those passages that sometimes defy understanding. And in some instances, as I've said earlier, send cold chills down your spine as we take a look at hard passages. And today we'll be taking a look at Ephesians 4:30, at 1 Peter 1:15 and 16, and 1 Peter 4:17. I think Peter's giving us a hard time, Bob.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is indeed. Well, our first passage of the day, as Bob mentioned, is Ephesians 4, verse 30. And one of our listeners wrote in to us, we've asked if you have passages that you would like for us to address, please send those in to us. Well, one listener heard, and this was the passage that has caused him the most problem. And so he wanted us to address it, and we're going to do so on today's broadcast. It's Ephesians 4:30, and the passage reads this, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So this is one of those troublesome passages, because we think when we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit, we make him sad. So when we do the right things, we make the Holy Spirit happy. When we do the wrong things, we put a little tear in his eye and make him sad, make him feel sorrowful, grieve him. Is that what this particular passage is teaching? And I think when we really dive into it, we're going to see that that's not the case at all. Yes, the Holy Spirit is a person. He has emotions. He feels things. God, you know, he's a personality. And so, yes, he has those emotions. But this grieving is not what we kind of project on him as far as our human thinking is concerned. So, what does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? So, we're going to look at this word. The word grieve is the Greek word lupeo, L-U-P-E-O. It means to grieve, to afflict with sorrow, to cause grief or offend. And when Paul writes, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, that word grieve is a verb. It's present. It's active right now, and it's in the imperative voice, meaning that it's a command. This is something that Paul is saying, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. So when he says this, we have to realize that there's a context to it. That as we start out every hard passage, we always look at the context. What in the world is Paul saying around this particular passage? Well, the first thing that we need to know is that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and that's a part of this verse. You know, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we've been sealed for the redemption to come. So the fact that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit guarantees that we belong to Christ. That's the deposit guaranteeing our future inheritance, an inheritance that's being kept for us, as Peter said, in the heavenly places. So this is God's mark on us that we belong to God. So that's a positive thing. And I think Paul is just reiterating that point. So in chapter 1, verse 13, we see that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, since we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the Holy Spirit has a job to do in and through us. So the Holy Spirit is constantly at work in us to do and to will of God's good pleasure. So one of the things that Paul says that the Holy Spirit does is that he teaches us the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God. So we learn the love of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, one of the most powerful prayers in all of the New Testament. So Paul is praying, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to grasp and to know and experience the love of God that passes understanding. So the Holy Spirit is teaching us about the love of Christ. And this love of Christ just isn't a concept for us to harbor in our minds or in our hearts. It's a life that is to be lived out, to be shared. And so we share that as we put off the old and put on the new. And that's the immediate context of this verse of grieving the Holy Spirit. So we put off the old. We realize that our old man has been crucified with Christ. It is dead and gone. We've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So we put on this new self and we live out our new identity out there in the world today. So we put on the new. Well, what does that new look like? It looks like loving others. So the Holy Spirit that has been deposited into each and every one of us is the seal guaranteeing that we belong to Christ. The Holy Spirit in us is teaching us about the love of Christ, and then he is moving that love out of us into the lives of others. So the immediate context of grieving the Holy Spirit is learning to love others. So he says, put away falsehood and let each one of you speak the truth. So how do we love others? We speak the truth. We do not let the sun go down on our anger. We can get angry, but in our anger, we sin not. We deal with the problem. That's part of loving one another. And the Holy Spirit is the source of all of that. Now, if we're not living that out, if we are submitting to those old ways that where we once lived, that's what grieves the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't make him sad on his own right. It makes him sad for us because we're not experiencing, not living out the life that he is working in. And he knows that that life that he is working in us, when it is lived out, is to our benefit. It's a reward to us. It's joy immeasurable. And it grieves the Holy Spirit when he knows that we're not going to experience that joy in its full measure. Yeah. When we choose to follow the desires of the flesh, kind of fall back into those old ways, that grieves the Spirit because we're not living out what he's working in.
Right.
So the context of this is loving others. What does the Holy Spirit want for each and every one of us? To love others, to pass this on so that they can experience the benefit and we can experience the joy in loving. That's what this Christian life is all about. That's what it means to live this in abundance. So it's the Holy Spirit that is sourcing that. It's the Holy Spirit that is teaching us what this love is all about, and it's the Holy Spirit compelling us to live that out in day-to-day life. And he knows that's for our ultimate benefit, for our ultimate good, and for the good of those that we're in relationship with. Yeah. So when it says don't grieve the Holy Spirit, what it's telling us is don't quench what God's Spirit is doing inside of you. Let it out and love one to another. That's when you're going to experience the abundant life in its full measure.
Absolutely. Well, it's a Friday edition, everybody. It's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you're with us. Hard passages today and each Friday, and if you have one, we want to, as Bob said, we want to hear from you. Just drop us a line at bob@basicgospel.net. You can go to our Facebook channel, and you can pose your question there. Let us know what's troubling you, what's tripping you up in your Christian life and your walk with Christ. We want to hear from you, and we'll address it on a Friday edition of Basic Gospel. And I want to remind you, everybody, that as we go forward, we continue to solicit your help as we move into the new year after we ended
our fiscal year for us. Yes, indeed.
And the bills continue to come, and just because we finished that fiscal year, we did it on a pretty good note, I'd have to say, and we thank the many of you who took part in that. But the bills continue to come due, and it's no time to let down. We want to continue to be in a healthy condition as we look at our numbers on the financial books, and so thank you for your part in that. Thank you for your love of the message of God's unconditional love and grace in Jesus Christ, and for helping Basic Gospel stay on the air with the truth that literally sets us free.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you to all of our listeners as well, all of our supporters, this Basic Gospel Nation. It's wonderful what God has pulled together so that we can reach out, not just us here on staff, but all of us together can reach out with the message the world desperately wants to hear, needs to hear, and when they do hear it, they experience the benefit of this good news. The good news of Jesus Christ becomes their good news story in their personal life. Indeed. So thank you so much for joining with us in this great mission that we call Basic Gospel. Well, our next hard passage is this one. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 through 16, and this is what it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Now, why this is difficult is because we think in through our behavior, we become holy.
Yeah.
Well, we've got it all backwards. No, we've already been made holy, and now we want our behavior to match up. And that's what Peter is saying, that as believers in Christ, live the life that's been given to you. Christ has given you his life. Let that life out in your day-to-day experience. And guess what? His life is a holy life.
Absolutely.
And as you let it out by faith, it's going to look like a holy life. So here Peter is talking about our conduct. He's not talking about our identity. And all he's really saying is let your conduct match up with who you are in Jesus Christ. So the truth is you are holy. Now, he says this in the context of trials. We have various trials that come our way. Peter is talking about trials throughout this first letter. I mean, trials, he was experienced those. He knew all about them. He knew what those trials meant in his life. And he knew that we as believers were going to have trials in our life. And when those trials come, it's easy for us to lose hope. That's why he talks a lot about hope in this particular letter as well, that we've been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we have a blessed hope that we can be anchored to. And with that hope, and being anchored to that hope, we don't have to conform to the passions of our former life. That's the temptation. That's the vulnerability that all of us face when trials and tribulations come our way. We're like those Israelites after they were freed from Egypt, after they got through that Red Sea and were crossing the desert. They're thinking, wow, life is hard in the desert. Let's go back. That was their temptation. And sometimes when trials come our way, that's the temptation that we face as well. We want to go back to our old way of life. Well, with this living hope, Jesus Christ himself living in us, we don't have to conform to the passions of our former life. And that's the context of this passage, that we should be holy in our conduct, for he who called us is holy himself. So here's the truth. We have already been made holy. And Peter is simply saying, because that's true, let your conduct align up with who you are. So you've been made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 10:10. You were made holy by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Now, that's good news, folks. You could try to make yourself holy, and you're never going to get to that goal. You're never going to make it to that place of holiness. Why? Because in your mind, you're not going to always think holy thoughts, and certainly in your actions, you're not always going to do holy things. So you fail on both fronts, internally and externally. So what did God do? He made us holy through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says that we were sanctified. That means that we have been made holy. It's the same root word. Holy and sanctified come from the same root word. So we were sanctified or set apart by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? What does it mean to be holy? Well, to be holy means that we have been set apart. God has set us apart from the world, from our former way of life, has connected us to himself through faith in Jesus Christ, has sent the Spirit to live inside of us, and that sets us apart for God to use us in this world in which we live. To be holy also means that we are called a saint. Again, it's the same root word. So we are saints in God's eyes, not because we always act like saints, but because of what Christ has accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. So we're set apart, we're called saints, we're also consecrated for God's sacred use. Our bodies aren't for the things of this world anymore. Our bodies have been purchased, redeemed for God's special use. And so when we offer our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, that's the very source of what this holy life is going to look like lived out. So what happens when we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice? A holy life comes out of us. Now, we're also strangers in this world because we've been set apart by the Holy Spirit, because we're saints, because we're consecrated for God's sacred use. The things of the world are strangely dim to us. Whenever we submit to those ways, whenever we fall into the desires of the flesh, we realize we don't belong there anymore. We're not fit for that way of life. We've been set apart for a brand new life. So that's what it means to be holy, set apart, called a saint, consecrated for God's sacred use, strangers in this world in which we live. Now, Paul put it this way in Ephesians 5:8. He says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." So that's exactly what Peter is telling us when he says that we should be holy in our conduct. Well, why should we be holy in our conduct? Because we've been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. So what does that holy life look like? Well, it looks like this. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's what a holy life looks like. Yeah. So what is Peter calling us to do? He's calling us to entrust ourselves to the Holy One and to allow that faith in Jesus Christ himself to be expressed in love through others. That's the set-apart life. That is the sanctified life. That is something that looks different out there in the world. If you love your neighbor and your neighbors see that, they're going to see something different. They're going to see something set apart from everything else that they experience in the world around them. What's the source of that? The Holy Spirit living in you. You are simply living out who you have become in Christ Jesus. So to be holy, to conduct yourselves in a holy manner, is simply to live out who you are in Christ. What does that holy life look like? What does that holy conduct look like? It looks a lot like love.
Yes, it does indeed. It's good news on Basic Gospel. It's the kind of news that we love to share with you. It is a Friday study edition of Basic Gospel. As we're considering hard passages in Scripture, we'll continue with our study in just a moment. But first, let me point out that if you're benefiting from what you hear on Basic Gospel and it's found a place in your life, someone made a gift to Basic Gospel that allowed that to happen. It allowed you to hear the truth that sets people free. So if it's important to you to see this message reach others like you, then please help us keep going with a gift to Basic Gospel. Please go online to basicgospel.net, or you can phone your gift to 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742 to help with your gift today. Somewhere next week, next month, or even next year, someone will be giving thanks to our Lord for what you did to help the truth get to their ears. So join with us today, friends, if you can. A quick reminder also that you can take Basic Gospel with you wherever you go with the Basic Gospel app, like all the apps that are available. It's in the App Store, and we hope you'll go there and pick it up. The Basic Gospel app, we'd love to go with you.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, our final passage for the day is 1 Peter 4:17. And this is a real doozy for a lot of people. And here's what it says: "For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" So here's that word judgment, and whenever we read that word judgment, it puts all sorts of scary notions in our mind, yeah. And it triggers that fear within our hearts. We're afraid that God's going to judge us for something that we do in our lives. Well, we have to be clear. The judgment for our sins has already gone upon Jesus. He took the punishment that we rightly deserved. Our sins have been judged once and for all. They have been taken away once and for all. We stand as forgiven people. So what in the world is Peter talking about here, that judgment is going to begin at the household of God? We believers constitute the household of God. So right. What is he saying? Well, again, context. Context is everything. As I mentioned before, 1 Peter is writing about the fiery trials that are going to come our way. So as believers in Christ, we're going to experience trials and tribulations in life. Jesus even said that to his disciples, that in this world you're going to have trouble. And I know as Peter walked through his life after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus and all of the suffering that he went through, those words came back to him time and time and time again. Yes, Jesus was right. In this world, we're going to have tribulation. And so he learned something about how to deal with those tribulations. He learned something that those tribulations actually proved to him that his faith was genuine and pure. And he was giving a word of encouragement to each and every one of us that when these trials and tribulations come, it can do the same in our lives. It can be that very thing that shows us that our faith in Jesus is genuine and pure. Now, he's talking about suffering. He's not talking about suffering doing the things of the world. Those carry their own consequences. Right. Sin carries its own consequences. He's talking about suffering for the sake of Christ. And we see that in verses 13 through 16 of chapter 4. So if you suffer for the sake of Christ, count it a good thing. Don't shrink back from that. Also in the last, or verse 18, he says, suffering according to God's will. So that's the context. So what is this judgment? It comes to us in the form of fiery trials. It's not God whacking us on the head for something that we've done wrong. It's not God taking us to the woodshed and just beating the daylights out of us because of something we've done wrong. It comes to us through these trials and tribulations. Now, judgment comes from a word that means to separate or distinguish, to form or give an opinion after separating and considering the particulars of a case. It's an approval of the righteous or a condemnation of the lost. So one commentator had this to say, the word judgment in this particular passage has a broad meaning involving a judgment that gives an approval or is for the purpose of discipline, though not necessarily for any specific sin. So what is this judgment that comes to us through fiery trials when we're suffering for the name of Christ? Well, in many ways, it's an approval. It's a rubber stamp that says you belong to Christ. So we shouldn't shy away from it. We shouldn't shrink from it. We should welcome it and say thank you. Thank you for counting me as worthy of suffering with the sufferings of Christ Jesus. That's a mark of approval from God to us. So that's what Peter is talking about in this particular passage. He says, remember the word I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And that comes to us in the form of trials and tribulations.
Yes, indeed. Well, Bob, thanks for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. Hard passages on these Friday editions. And if you have one, we'd love to address it for you. And if you would like to, just drop it to us at bob@basicgospel.net. Go to our Facebook page, our Facebook channel, and you can leave your question there. Whatever it is that's tripping you up, we want to address it and help you get beyond that particular hurdle. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Thanks for being with us for this Hard Passages edition of Basic Gospel. So now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.